Hi, this is Chris Sorensen. Welcome to Brookville Road Community Church Podcast. If you haven't done so already, please take a moment to check out our website at brookvilleroad.cc for all the latest information about what's going on at Community Church. I hope the following message inspires you to take your next step in becoming a wholehearted follower of Jesus Christ. Enjoy.
Again, good morning. So good to worship with my church family today. We said when we first started this conversation regarding growing deeper that the life of a wholehearted follower of Jesus, it's all about relationships. Specifically, it's about three relationships. It's about our relationship with God, our relationship with the church, and our relationship with the world around us. Those are three primary relationships that we see in the life of Jesus. And so those three relationships are so important that that's how we grow as a disciple, is with God, with one another, and with the world around us. So then the question becomes, how do we do that kind of thing? How do we develop that kind of relationship? Well, how do you develop any relationship? How does any relationship that you have grow? Time. It takes time. There's a direct correlation between my relationship with my family and the time that I spend with them. If I'm never around and we're not with one another, the relationship suffers. But if I'm taking the time to have intentional quality time with them, well, then the relationship grows. And it's the very same thing with those three relationships that we talked about: our relationship with our Heavenly Father, our relationship with one another as believers in Christ, and then our relationship with the world. And so those three things, we say we need to have a heart of love for those relationships. We want to love God, love the church, and love the world. And so if it's going to take time, we've then attached the word time to those things. We're trying to keep it really simple as we talk about this. We talk about God time, group time, and go time. And so when we talk about God time, that's time spent individually and corporately with God. Time spent with God individually and corporately. That's God time. All of us need time with our Maker. All of us need time with God if that relationship is going to develop and grow. And in fact, it's your relationship with your Heavenly Father that every other relationship that you have is going to benefit. If you have all kinds of relationships that are out of shape and all wonky in your life, odds are there's a broken relationship between you and your Heavenly Father. And as you allow the Lord to transform your heart from the inside and pour His love into you, now you begin to relate with the world around you differently. So this is a primary relationship, and it affects every other relationship, but you need time with Him. And so again, we're trying to make this as simple as possible, answer some of the questions, and allow you to walk this out. So maybe you'd ask, well, how much time? How much God time are we talking here? So we've broken it down, and we broke it down to a bare minimum, where we say, if you would invest 5% of your life in these three relationships, the other 95% of your life would be transformed and changed forever. And we break it down into the time per day, your time in the week, your time in a month, and your time in a year. So when it comes to God time, individually and corporately, your time with God individually, we say if you'll take 1%, 1% of your day, which is 15 minutes. And all of us can carve out 15 minutes to be with God, just as a starting point. If you'll take 15 minutes to be with Him, that's gonna transform the rest of your day. So that's our individual God time, 1% of your day. And then weekly, if you would take 1% of your week and invest that in gathered time together worshiping God, that would transform your week. It would change everything. 1% of your week, that's an hour and a half. So we've broken it down. 1% of your day, 15 minutes. 1% of your week, about an hour and a half. Those things, if you will begin those habits, it's going to change your heart. It begins to change the trajectory of your life. And then when it comes to time with others, group time, that's time spent in community with other Christians, time spent in community with other Christians. So if you and I are going to grow in love for one another, we have to be around each other. We have to spend time with one another. You need to be around other Christians, not just simply sitting in front of them or behind them in rows. You're not going to know everybody in this church. The church is too large for that kind of thing. But you can know people in smaller groups. You can know people when you get out of these rows and you sit in circles and you start to listen to one another and you hear about the pains or the joys in one another's life and you begin sharing in those things. And so we have life groups and you can disciple one another. And we said if you'll take 1% of your month, And 1% of your month is 7 hours. If you'll take 7 hours out of the month and spend time with other believers, other Christians, that's going to change your heart. You get to minister to them. They get to minister to you. And you can do that in a life group, and sometimes you break that up over different times of meeting throughout the month, or you're meeting with other Christians individually. But if you would carve out 7 hours out of your month, this is very doable, 1%, it's going to change your discipleship. And then finally, this third piece, this go time. Go time is time spent in mission locally and globally. Time spent in mission locally and globally is go time. And we as Christians, we don't just simply isolate ourselves. We don't want to cocoon with one another and avoid everything in the world. We're not to be of the world. We're in this world. And that love that we have of God should then drive us to want to spend time with people who don't know him yet, who haven't heard the good news, who don't have a relationship with him. And so if you'll take, and this is where the numbers start getting kind of weird. Sorry about that. If you'll take 2%, that's how we get to 5%. If you'll take 2% of your year, you're like, oh no, 2% of my year, that's going to be a lot. That's 7 days. If you would take 7 days to be on mission, take a short-term mission trip, or take 7 days, the equivalent of 7 days, and serve locally in our communities on purpose, sharing the love of God, that's going to change and transform your heart. See, this whole thing that we've talked about, that's our discipleship process. This is us trying to break it down in such a way that you would be able to take steps of growth to be a wholehearted follower of Jesus. So we keep trying to encourage people, all right, take your time and take your time in these three areas. Your time with God individually, your time in gathered worship, your time in groups with one another, and then your time outside the walls of the church. And again, your life will be transformed. Now today, what we're going to talk about is God time. We're just going to focus on one of those three, and then we'll come back and we're going to talk about the others as we move forward. So today is God time. And in order to talk about our God time individually and then gathered corporately, we need to look at the life of Christ. Because we're not trying to make some kind of system out of just our own thoughts or religion. We want to look at the life of Christ because we want the life of Christ in us. We want to follow in his steps, not what we think would get us closer to God in our own energy. And when you look at the life of Jesus Christ, he was all about his relationship with his Heavenly Father. Everything that he did flowed out of that connection with God. And you find Jesus, and he's saying, when you are encountering me, you're actually encountering my Heavenly Father. I speak only that which I hear from him. I do that which pleases my Father. In John 14, he says, the words that I speak, those are the words that have come from the one who sent me, from God. And where did he get those words? He got those words by spending time with God. And I think if Jesus needed time alone with God, whew, how much more do you and I need to be alone with God? So as we open up the Bible, and we're going to be in the Gospels for a little bit, and we'll touch base in the Old Testament, and then we'll get into the book of Hebrews. But as we look at Mark chapter 1, verse 35, there's four things as I start trying to think, okay, how did Jesus spend time with God? What are some things that he did that I need to incorporate into my life? So let's take a look at that. So the first verse we're looking at is Mark 1, verse 35. Says this about Jesus. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went to a desolate place, and there he prayed. So, as I think about the time that Jesus spent, the first thing I see, it's intentional. It's intentional. He's rising on purpose. He's getting up in the morning, and it's not just simply, well, I wonder what today will have for me. No, it's on purpose. It's intentional. I'm rising, and I'm going to go be with my Heavenly Father. Over and over in the scriptures, what we find is Jesus excusing himself or going to a place, and he's going to talk with God on purpose. This is the key. This is the intimacy. This is where the power comes from. And if you were to look at somebody in your life and you think, man, they're just a great Christian. I look at their relationship with the Lord. I can tell that they're close to him. They're kind of filled by the Spirit of God. I wish I could have what they have. The person that you're looking at who is living a holy life did not get there by accident. It's intentional. They've spent time with their Heavenly Father. They're beginning to look like him and act like him and obey him because they've spent time with him. It's intentional. Many times, what we find is Jesus being alone with God. The next thing as we look here, I want to look at Luke 5:16, says something very similar, adds a little nuance. It says this, but Jesus would withdraw to desolate places and pray. In other words, this is just something that he did consistently. So first it's intentional, and then it's consistent. It says he would withdraw. This is just the thing he did. Every now and then, Jesus is just like gone, and he's going to different places to be with God. It's consistent. It's a habit. It's ongoing. It's moment by moment. It's daily. So it is routine for Jesus. This isn't a one-off. This is the habit of his life. So our time with God, it is intentional. It is consistent. And then it needs to be first. It needs to be first priority. Look back at Mark 1:35. It said this, "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark." Now, I know I lost some of you here. You're like, "I don't know that I want to get up while it's still dark." But I think this needs to be priority time. I think he needs to be first. That's why I would just encourage you as best I can, get in the habit to put him first. You're like, "I'm not a morning person." You can get up 15 minutes earlier. You can do it. Because if we don't put him first, we'll end up putting him last. We'll end up putting him at the end of the day. At the end of the day, many times when I decided, well, I can't be a morning person, I'll just do this later, I wouldn't do it. Too tired. The day had beat the snot out of me, and I had nothing left. But if I will put him first, well, that's going to change everything. And God wants first place in your life. Not last place. He wants first in your finances. He wants first in your heart. He wants first in your time. And so I would encourage you, put him first. Do it the first thing in the morning. Before anything else, you're going to meet with God. And the reason that I need to do that first is, I'll just speak for me, my heart's a mess. I'm a screw up on my own. And so I need God at the very first part of the day so that the rest of my part of the day is reordered. It's differently. I begin to react differently than I would if I've not already spent that time in close fellowship and intimacy with the Father. We all need this. So it was intentional. It's consistent. It's focused. And then it says this, "He departed and went out to a desolate place." Why did he go to a desolate place? Nobody's there. He's by himself. It was focused. That's the fourth thing. It's focused time. No one else was there to distract him and interrupt him. He could get alone to be with the Father. And I know that part may be difficult depending on stage of life. Some of you are young parents and there's no time that you're not distracted, but it won't always be that way. But if we don't set aside some place where we can be alone without distraction, we'll get distracted because we're very good at distracting ourselves. And it's almost as if, you know, Jesus had an advantage here. He didn't have a cell phone, right? He didn't have all of these things, right? How many times have you picked up your phone and you're open up social media and you're like, "Where did that 30 minutes go? How did I get to this place? Where is that time vacuum occurring?" So we can waste a whole lot of time. But if we will decide, no, I'm going to intentionally plan my day by meeting with God consistently, and I'm going to place him first, and I'm going to be focused, that's going to change things. It's going to change your heart. It's going to set you in a place where you now have an opportunity for the intimacy of the one who made you to talk to you and transform you and change you from the inside out. Jesus got alone with God. He got alone. And that's the difference between our personal God time and our gathered God time. That's the difference. We're going to be with God personally. Like your attendance here this morning at church, that's not a substitute for your personal time with God. Like if Sunday mornings are just all the time that you're getting, just Sunday morning, shot in the arm, time with God, not near enough. You're going to dry on the vine. You need to spend time with God personally. If all you're getting out of Bible reading are the few verses I'm reading on Sunday morning, not going to do it. You need personal time with God. The best thing you could do on a Sunday, the best thing you could do on a Sunday morning is spend your personal time with God before you get to this place. Like you get filled with Jesus and then show up to this place, you watch what happens to this room. Can you imagine? Can you imagine, like, okay, I am filled up with Christ and those doors better not be locked because I'm coming in. I gotta get with God. And here's Jesus, and he's walking in complete dependence upon his Father. And again, if he needs that, how much more do we? How much more do I need time with him? Because everything that Jesus wants to do in our lives, it's going to happen out of the overflow of the relationship, the intimacy that happens. Not my desires to want to be a good Christian, a better disciple, but the actual time that I'm spending with him. Because my life, it's not about me living for Jesus, remember. It's not about you and me just trying really hard to be better Christians and we're going to do our thing. No, the life of a Christian is the life of Christ in us. He wants to live his life in and through you. It is Jesus Christ, the hope of glory in us, Christ, who is your life. That's how he wants to operate. That's how he wants to move. He wants to live his life through you. And if we don't provide him the opportunity with personal time and intimate time with him, then it is not going to happen. We don't need to kid ourselves about it. And the thing is, yes, he wants to live his life through you, but we can't deceive ourselves and think that we don't play a part. We can't think, well, I have no effort in this, because we do have effort. We have to move ourselves into position to be used by God. We have to be disciplined. That's why these things are called disciplines, praying and reading your Bible and fasting. Those are disciplines. It's not easy. But when you and I take the responsibility and we put the effort forward and we put ourselves into positions where we say, God, I want to be with you and I'm going to carve out time for that, and you begin to meet with him and read his word and pray, things begin to transform and change. Now, when we get to this place and we're going to be with God, right? 15 minutes is a starting point. When you sit down to be with God, the goal in that moment isn't to check something off your to-do list. The goal isn't to say, all right, I made the pastor happy. I did my God time. The goal is to be with God, the living God, who wants to be with you in that moment. And the goal when we sit down and we're with God and we're reading the word, the goal there isn't to read through your Bible in a year. If you read through the Bible in a year, that's great, that's fine, but that's not the goal. The goal, again, is to be with God. Your time alone with God, it's not about consumption. It's about intimacy. It's about the relationship. It's about awareness. We read God's word and we pray in order to be with him. Now, listen, that doesn't mean that we don't study God's word. Yes, we need to study God's word. We provide Bible studies. There's great Bible studies that are out there, and we need to know his word. But knowing his word and Bible study flows out of the relationship. Then it's going to mean something. Because if all you're looking for is just simple head knowledge and facts, that doesn't mean you have a relationship with God. You can ask the Pharisees or the Sadducees or the scribes who had no heart really for God or for Jesus. You can go to seminaries right now, and I promise you, you would find people who don't love God. They know about him, but they don't love him. Many times they're in seminary so they can try to pick things apart to excuse away their sin. It's about the heart. And out of a heart of love and relationship for the one who has redeemed us, we want to be with him. This isn't a have to. This is a get to. We get to be with God. So how do we do this? Let's make it practical again. So let's say, all right, I'm going to be an intentional person and I'm going to meet with God consistently. It's going to be first and it's going to be focused. What do I do? All right, here's what I would encourage you to do. First, prepare your heart. Prepare your heart when you sit down. Find a spot, favorite chair, favorite room, whatever it is, prepare your heart. And this could take a couple of minutes, but you could start with prayer. God, I'm here to meet with you. Would you give me eyes to see what you want me to see? Would you give me ears to hear what you want me to hear? God, would you purify my heart? Would you remove all of those things that are just heavy on my heart and my mind right now, so that I can focus on you? So you can start with praying, you can begin with faith and just realize, okay, in this moment, I'm meeting with my maker and he's aware of me in this moment. He's called me divinely to this place at this time. And then you can begin with worship as well. That might mean you wanna sing a song, maybe your favorite hymn or your favorite praise song, or maybe you wanna play something, a favorite group that's singing a worship song as you're allowing your heart to be warmed in that moment by God. Maybe you open up the Bible and you read a psalm, but take a few minutes to get your heart and your mind in that moment. And then once you've prepared your heart, now you get to enjoy his presence. You get to enjoy his presence. Talk to God, let him talk to you. He talks through his word. He speaks to you through his spirit. Sit down and just realize in this moment, I have awareness of you, Father, and I know that you're aware of me. I've come to this place to be with you. And take the time to be in his presence. You can open up his word and choose a book of the Bible to go through. I would encourage you to take it in context. Maybe keep going through a book of the Bible until you get through. There's 66 books to choose from. There's 39 in the New Testament. You could choose one of those books, and if you're like, I don't know where to start, start in the book of Luke. We're covering Luke this year. And as you sit down, again, the goal isn't just like, well, I'm going to consume a whole bunch of information here. No, the goal is to be with him. So God, when I get to some place in your word that's for me, that I need to pay attention to, God, would you stop me? Would you give me an aha moment? Would you make this clear? And you might get to one verse. And if you get through one verse, fine. Because again, it's not consumption. You're meeting with him. Maybe you get through three chapters. I don't know. Again, it's not about the amount or the content or the information. It is about the presence of God and God speaking to you and you speaking to him. Your personal time with God, that's where intimacy begins. That's how we grow as disciples. So we've talked about that 1% God time. We're going to carve out as a starting point 15 minutes each day where we're with God, and you can do that. And again, if you've not done that or you've been inconsistent, I would encourage you to do so. If you said, man, I had good intentions last year, right? I was going to do really well. I didn't do well. I've missed it a few times. Start up again. Don't beat yourself up. Start back. Get back into it. Don't sweat that. Keep moving forward with him. All right, so that's our personal God time. Let's talk about our gathered God time, like we're doing today, right? This corporate worship, this opportunity to gather as believers. This is the time where we come in and we worship God. Now, Jesus is our model for this as well. And this is what we find in the book of Luke, chapter 4, speaking of Jesus. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath, and he stood up to read. So it's the custom of Jesus' life every single week, every Sabbath, to go to the synagogue and worship God. And that pattern of Jesus then became the pattern of the early church as well, where they met for worship every week. And instead of just meeting on a Sabbath, they met on Sunday. They met on the first day of the week, which is known as the Lord's Day, because Jesus rose from the dead on a Sunday. And so they gathered to celebrate that fact every single week. This is the day of the week when Jesus rose from the dead. And so they would gather. And so when it comes to Sabbath, Sabbath is associated with one day out of seven. So the goal is to rest one day out of seven. And for us as Christians, we focus on Sunday as the day of our rest. And so fortunately for us, you know, we can thank the early Christians. If you get a weekend, thank you, Christians, and Saturday off, thank you, Jewish faith. We now have a weekend and 2 days off. So thank you very much for that. But we rest and we worship. We gather together to worship God. And when we're gathering for worship, something unique happens. Because it's not just like, okay, it's simply we're worshiping God, yes, and it's about him, but he's pouring his love into our hearts. There's something unique that happens in the gathered assembly of believers where his love is poured into our heart. And then I start loving other people differently. And I take the love of God that he's given me. And now I want to extend that to you and minister to others. And as a result of us being here together and being like, isn't God awesome? And look what he's done by giving us salvation. And we get to be in his presence. I bet there's people out there that might like to know that God is alive and wants to know them. And now we begin to love the world differently. This is a unique experience when we gather. So we're following in the steps of Jesus and the early church. And so we got to choose to prioritize worshiping. And you're like, you got to say that you're the pastor. You just want people in here. No, this is scriptural. This is what God calls us to do. This is a unique experience. How is it that the church has existed for over 2,000 years now? I mean, this thing should have been wiped off the map a long time ago, but here we are gathered as believers worshiping a holy God. And this is different. You're not going to get this at the football game. Like, you can go to the football game and you might have an emotional experience, but that's not worship unless you've got your priorities out of whack. When we come in here, this is about God and it's worth ship. It is his worth that we're declaring. You don't get this down at the Lions Club. You come in here. It is a unique experience, or at least it should be with the presence of God. We'll get there in a second. But if you don't understand why we come together, then you're not going to receive the intended purpose. You're not going to get the primary reason why we gather, and you're going to walk out just saying, okay, well, I didn't really get a thing out of that. The reason we gather, it's not us, it's him. We're not here for you. I'm sorry, but we're not. You're not here for me. I'm not here for me. We're here for him. And he's called us together. This is what it says in Psalm 95, verses 1 and 2. I want you to look at the plural here, and I want you to look at the actions that are involved, all right? Psalm 95, verse 1. Oh, come, let us. Let us. Well, can I just go to the woods? Can I just be out in nature alone? I don't need the church. Us. Let us sing. Can I just be quiet and watch? Let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. All right, let's come together and let's lift our voice. Let's bow down before him. You get to verse 6 in Psalm 95, and it says, let us kneel before the Lord our God, our maker. So we don't gather as a church because the church is great. We don't gather because the music is great. We gather because God is great. That's why we are here right now. And every single Lord's Day when we gather, it's him. And notice this, worship when we gather is active. It's active. It's not just spectator sport. It's active. We're to take part. Worship is a verb. It's not a noun. I went to worship, and it's just like I went to a thing. No, I went to worship actively. What did we see? We saw people singing. We saw them kneeling. We see them bowing. We see them expressing themselves to this great God that they have gathered in his name. And along this note, the people who are up front here every Sunday, they're not the worshipers. Well, they're worshiping, yes, but they're the prompters. They're not the worshipers. They're prompting. And you're not the audience. You're the worshipers. God is the audience. That's how this works. We are here together to worship him. Not just simply to come in and spectate. And be like, I'm not really getting a whole lot out of this. Well, are you giving anything? Are you participating in the moment? We gather together as a community to worship God, to bow down before him, to declare his goodness. That's why we get together. And if you don't understand that, yeah, it's just going to be like, I don't get it. I didn't get anything out of it. And I know we come in here and we try to, you know, make sure that we've got an environment where something like that can happen. I mean, that's why we have a roof over our head right now and heat going on, because we could be outside, but we would die, right? So yes, we're trying to create an environment. Yeah, there's lights and there's different things like that, but it's just simply to create an environment. But the fact of the matter is, we've gathered for God, not our entertainment, not our enjoyment. We're here for this great God. And again, the great thing that happens out of this, yes, we gather for God, but then man, he pours his love into my heart. And then all of a sudden, I want to give that to somebody else. I want to love them. I want to encourage them. And this kind of idea is carried over into the New Testament in the book of Hebrews. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. There's a community aspect, right? Because it goes along with the great commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength, right? To worship him with everything we've got, which we've never fully accomplished. So we keep striving for that. And then the second part of the command is, and love your neighbor as yourself. And the church provides us that opportunity. Look at Hebrews 10, 24. And let, here it is, us. Can't I just, you know, be a Christian by myself? No. and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day, and that day is the day of Jesus' return, all the more as you see that day drawing near. And so by not gathering, by saying, I don't really like the church, I don't want to go to church, by doing that, you're breaking a command. You are becoming irresponsible. You are taking away the responsibility that you have, and you are deserting other Christians. The body of Christ is necessary. We gather to worship God out of obedience because it's commanded over and over and over and over. And then to neglect the bride of Christ, the rest of the body, that's a maturity issue. And too often what church becomes, especially in the West, is about us. It's about my feelings. We come in like, did I like the songs? I'm going to be honest with you. I don't always like all the songs. Because you're not singing my favorite songs. I don't choose them. You wouldn't like the songs I would pick anyway. We walk out like, well, did I like the message? Did the pastor entertain me? Did I laugh? Was the length of the service what I wanted? Did I get anything out of church today? Do I feel like going? Do I even feel like showing up? Gathering to worship is for God, not for us. It's God first. You're not even second. Other people are second. I'm not here for me. I'm here for you. I want to love on you. I'm here to worship God, to let him pour his love into my heart, and then to allow that in some way to begin to minister to the people that are around me. And he's calling you to do the very same thing. And so when you and I gather to worship God, man, we're here to be aware that God is doing something in the lives of people around us. There are people in this room right now who are hurting. And all too often, we don't get this opportunity because we just sit in rows and we just do the thing, and we don't get the opportunity to minister to one another. But there are people around you right now who are hurting and could really use you, not just the pastor in a prayer at the end, but you at the end to be able to say, hey, could I pray with you? How are things going? For you and the people around you to be the body of Christ, there's other people who are just celebrating great things in their life, and they're ready for somebody else to come alongside and be like, well, praise God for that. I am so glad your week is going well and you've experienced healing, right? Everybody's in a different place, but it's not just simply me walking in, waiting for a group of people to entertain me, and then walk out. That's not church. That's not the kind of church we want to belong to. We want to be the body of Christ, worshiping, gathering, looking for opportunities to encourage one another, to spur one another, to stir one another up to love of God and good works towards each other. So as we gather, it's an opportunity to worship in the context of what God is doing among this local body of Christ. And so we should come together, I think, just so filled of Christ, right? We've spent time and we're so filled with Jesus that as a result of our personal God time, when we come into this room, our worship should be dynamic and palpable, not because of lights or haze or great sound, but because the holiness of God has permeated our souls because we have put ourselves in a position of the intimate relationship that he invites us into. Again, if you and I keep pressing in to be sanctified by the Spirit of God, and we walk into this room allowing him to live his life through us and us giving him all the glory, dying to ourself and our flesh, what happens in that room? Well, maybe we would see. Maybe you would continue to press in. What would God do with a body of people who are passionate to love him, to serve him, to let him fill them, to remove sin and transgression, and to allow holiness to flow down like just a flood, a river of life right through us toward others. Because here's what we want to avoid when we come together. We just want to avoid doing church as usual. We don't want to just simply go through motions. When we come into this room, we should expect to be in the presence of God. The very presence of God. It said in Psalm 95, verse 2, oh, let us come into his presence. his presence. Now, we realize his presence is everywhere, right? That's pretty clear in the Bible. Like, God's everywhere. That's called his omnipresence. If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed down in Sheol, you are there. If I go to the depths of the sea, God, even there, you are. His presence is everywhere, and you can't escape it. And then we talk about the indwelling presence of God. And that is his spirit living on the inside of us. So we have his omnipresence, we have his indwelling presence, but then there's something else. There's the manifest presence of God. The manifest presence of God. When God shows up. Now, God is too big, and it's impossible to contain him in a space. You can't contain God in a particular space. However, he does meet with his people in particular spaces. And so when we gather in this space, the sanctuary, it's as if we are gathering on holy ground. And it's not holy ground because we've shown up. It's not holy ground because we attach a label church to the building. It's holy ground because this is the place set aside where we meet with God, where we come into God's presence. And so we desire to have hearts of expectancy, like I'm going to meet with God in his house, where we walk away from here and we're like, I met with God. We met with God today. God was with us. Because the danger is for the church, especially in America, we can get so good at doing church. We can get so good at doing the things revolving around church that we could meet for weeks without the presence of God being here. And we can get so good with our slick marketing and programming, charismatic preaching. But God can do more in 5 minutes than our best efforts of striving to do church and make church entertaining. He can do more in that 5 minutes to transform a heart and change a life and traject our lives in the direction of his heart than anything we could attempt to do on our own. What if we showed up as people longing to be in the presence of a God who is longing to be in the presence of people who are willing to worship him in spirit and in truth? What does that look like? Every time we gather, we should gather realizing, I've come to be with God. I'm gonna talk to God. And I'm gonna hear from God. And I'm gonna respond to him. It's all about him. It is all for him. Would you stand? Let's pray. I want to pray these scriptures over us as we worship him, as we kind of let go of the things that are just like consuming our thoughts and our minds and our hearts in this moment. And so God, we just recognize your presence here among us. Great are you, Lord, and worthy of praise. Ascribe to the Lord the glory. Do his name. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Great is the Lord. The King is mighty. Exalt the Lord and worship him, for he is holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. You are worthy, our Lord, to receive glory and honor and power forever and ever. Amen.
Once again, thanks for listening. If you live in the area and are looking for a church home, we'd love for you to join us at one of our weekend worship services. For service times and information about BRCC, be sure to check out brookvilleroad.cc. God bless you.